Good morning.
Good morning.
Really good to see everyone. We're so thankful for your presence. Not only our visitors, we're always glad, of course, to see our own members, but we also are very thankful to have the number of visitors we have with us today. We welcome you to our services, and we encourage you to take your Bibles, follow carefully along with us this morning. It's my intention to study something with you today from the Word of God that will strengthen and encourage you and help you live a better and closer life in service to our Heavenly Father. I've entitled the lesson, Spiritual Equilibrium. Spiritual Equilibrium. And to define the word equilibrium, it means a state in which opposing forces or influences are balanced. A state of physical balance, a calm state of mind. So in a word, what I want to talk to you about is balance. Balance in life. I think the more I look at and think about life as I get older, I think more and more about how many times things have been a problem because they got out of balance. And I think it's something that we can understand and relate to in our own life. And I hope that what I can bring to you from the Word of God about this subject will help you in your life. Balance is very important in life, not only in a mental and spiritual sense, but even in a physical sense. It's an important part of everything we do. We cannot walk without it. If we have problems in our inner ear, vertigo, or things of that nature, we're dizzy or unsteady, it's a danger to us to try to walk. We understand that even walking, we need balance. Certainly in running, we need balance. And then when it comes to riding a bicycle, why is it so difficult at times in the beginning to teach a child how to ride a bicycle? Well, they haven't learned to balance it yet. As soon as they learn that they can balance it on the two wheels, then off they go. And as long as, you know, we say, well, it's like riding a bike and you never forget. Well, if you don't forget to balance, you're fine. And that's the key. Even in riding a bike, we must learn the principle of balance. And we need to learn it in regard to our life. Being out of balance causes a lot of problems. You ever tried to drive an automobile with tires that had not been balanced? You can do it, but it's not a very pleasant ride. And it will cause the tires to wear out prematurely until you get them in balance. And then who has not sometime or another had a washing machine that was out of balance? And oh yes, it will wash, but once it hits that spin cycle, it may be dancing all over the laundry room and it sounds like it's going to tear the house down. And the problem is just that it's out of balance. So you stop, you get the load in balance again, and everything is okay. So what does it mean to have spiritual equilibrium? What is it that we're talking about? Well, I think it means, in short, to have a handle on the various parts of my life, that I keep them under control. I'm not being pulled in one direction too much or the other. I can kind of keep it in the middle, keep it balanced. It leads then to a calmness in my life. It leads to peace of mind, to clarity and control. What I would equate balance to, again, in a word, is self-control. When you go to the book of Galatians, there in chapter 5 and in verse 23, again, one of the fruits of the Spirit is gentleness and self-control. Against such there is no law. The idea here of keeping my life in balance, keeping it under control, regulated properly. Also in 2 Peter 1 in verse 6, what we commonly call the Christian virtues. One of them again is self-control. That's what we're talking about. Now, try to imagine, if you want to talk about balance, the Walinda family understands balance when it comes to tightrope walking. Try to imagine a tightrope walker in a circus, and he's on a rope suspended many feet above the floor. And his purpose really is simple, to walk the rope from one end to the other. But imagine he holds a long bar in his hand, again, to help him maintain his balance, but he has to do more than just simply walk. Because like in this illustration, on his shoulders, he may be balancing a chair. And in that chair, sitting another person who's balancing a rod at the same time, and maybe even a plate. And the idea is, if at any time one of the items begins to get off balance, it's going to affect all of the others. He has to stop moving until he can get all of them in perfect alignment again. For the tightrope walker cannot continue and be successful until all is in balance. And only then can he successfully move forward, move across the rope, and make it to his destination. Now, I ask you in all sincerity, is this sometimes how you feel in your life? That you've got a lot of things to juggle, a lot of things to balance, all at one time? And at any moment, we're only one step away from a fall? We're constantly trying to move forward to achieve our goals, all the while trying to keep our lives under balance or in balance and under control, and not just one thing, but a whole list of things. When we emphasize one thing too much, and it gets our whole life out of balance, we can become in trouble. Again, it's kind of like the term that I know you've heard before, lopsided. What does that mean? What if we're lopsided? Well, we're pushing one thing too much to the point that we are neglecting another. One thing may seem to be in balance, but it's caused other things to be out of balance. We're unevenly balanced, off balance, or off center, or to one side when we're lopsided. That throws us off, and we're unable to move forward then as a result of that. On the tightrope of life until a balance can be reestablished. Now, have you ever heard of a teeter-totter or a seesaw? How does this work? What does it actually involve? Well, it involves, above all else, balance. You can't put a 200-pound person on one end and a 100-pound person on the other end and do anything but hold up the one that's lighter. The teeter-totter works on the principle that each side stays in their place. And of course, if one suddenly gets off, we know what's going to happen to the other one. Balance is the key of what makes something like that work. It's really very simple. So we understand that you can't really operate this. It doesn't work so well with only one individual. You know, it takes balance. It takes someone else equally balanced on the other side. And so once again, it's really a very simple thing. So what does an out-of-balance life look like? When we talk about balance and spiritual equilibrium, what is out-of-balance like? Well, I know sometimes we can say, well, look in the mirror, and you see what out of balance is like. We understand that there are times in our life when we truly struggle to maintain balance because there are so many things that is a part of our life. And again, whether young or old, I think those that are younger, this is one of the greatest things in life you can learn quickly, to balance your life, because it's going to be so much better for you if you do. So what is a spiritually out of balance life like? What are we talking about? Well, what we're talking about is where there's no spiritual mind, where it's all carnally minded. This is out of balance. There is at any time within all of us, raging between us, a civil war in a sense that goes on in the middle of us as to which part is going to dominate and control our life, spiritual or physical. We understand from the Word of God that we are a dual-natured being, and so it's like the seesaw. We have a spirit and we have a body. Now, can we balance the two? There are needs of the body that have nothing to do with the needs of the soul. And there are needs of the soul that have really nothing to do with the needs of the body. Your spirit or your soul will not need to leave between services and go get some physical food. You're eating right now, spiritually. This is food for your soul now. And this is what your soul thrives on. But we can stay here all day long and study the Word of God till dark, and your body is going to be hungry. It doesn't feed on the Word of God. You see, there's a distinction between the two, and there's a disparity there. And who's going to control who? The spirit or the flesh? And when one is all carnally minded, you know, this community around us, there are people all around in the community today that are nothing but carnally minded. They have no desire to be here. They will not show up at a service. They're focusing on the things of the flesh. And that's how they live day by day. They give no thought to God, no thought to heaven or hell or a judgment to come. They're way out of balance because they don't even sometimes realize they have a spirit. And how can they take care of the needs of a spirit if they don't even realize they have? So how can you be out of balance when you don't have a relationship with God, when there is no spirituality in your life, when you focus only on this world? Your life is out of balance, whether you realize it or not. But even Christians that realize that there is a God and realize that they are to serve God and they've obeyed the gospel and become a Christian, even so, we still can get our relationship with God out of balance. And how do we do that? We start missing services. And I'm not talking about because we have no choice, we're sick, or things happen that we simply cannot come, but we start making the choice to miss. And maybe we start thinking, well, you know, I need to be there Sunday morning and take the Lord's Supper, but I don't have to come back Sunday afternoon. And I don't have to be there Wednesday night, and I don't really have to attend gospel meetings. We're starting to get out of balance. The tire is not smooth like it once was spiritually. The washing machine is starting to dance around the room now because we're getting our life spiritually out of balance. We'll talk more about that in some things, in some passages that show us what our relationship really should be. But when we start putting other things ahead of God and we don't want to come, we don't want to be there spiritually, we are out of balance. Whenever we find in services that we can sit and not sing, not participate, we're there, we're sitting, we're listening, but we're not doing what we're commanded to do. And when we begin to notice that we're not praying like we once were, and we're not really spending time studying the Word of God, other things are crowding this out of my life. I'm slowly getting out of balance. And I need to realize that and be brought back to the need for God in my life. But then there's the opposite side. You know, you can be out of balance different ways. You can also be out of balance because you focus so much on God and spiritual things that you don't give the time needed to other things as well. Now, yes, God is to be first in my life, and I'm to love Him with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. But that doesn't mean that there aren't other things as well in my life that I'm obligated to do, like honoring parents, respecting them, being a good husband or wife, being a good child. There are many different things that, again, each of us juggle in our life. And so serving God doesn't mean that I have no other obligations in my life. One of the things that I've done in preacher training with both Chase and Luke is to emphasize to them that when you are a preacher and you're married and you have a wife and you have children, you have obligations to them. And I have seen preachers who spent all of their time in serving God to the point that they neglected their wives, they neglected their children, and their children lost their souls. And so, you know, we have to understand, and I think in Mark chapter 7, he gives us an example of what I'm talking about in being out of balance the other way. When there he says in chapter 7 and verse 9, "And he said to them, all too well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother. And he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is Corban, that is, dedicated to the temple, and you are no longer you no longer let him do anything for his father or mother, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down, and many such things you do. So what was going on here? What did they mean, Corban? Well, the Jews understood they had an obligation to parents, to honor them. That was part of the commandment of God under the old law. But he said here there were some that were saying, well, you know, I'd like to help you, but everything I had to give you, I gave to the Lord. I've already given it to him. And so I don't have any to give to you. Well, it wouldn't be right for us to give all that we have to the Lord and not have to provide for our own, not have to do other things. And that would include not only our money, but our time. If we could say, well, you know, I wanted to be a good parent, or I wanted to be a good husband or wife. I wanted this relationship. And I know we're married, but I just don't have time. Well, you have to make some time for other things as well. Still seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So there's more than one way for us to be out of balance. But neither is good. What about physically? How can we be physically out of balance? Now, we talked about carnal versus spiritual, and this battle going on. Is it right that we just neglect the body then altogether, focus only on the spirit? No. That's, again, being out of balance the other way. But being physically out of balance then would be emphasizing the flesh over the spirit, first of all. That's one way where we start thinking that all that matters is the flesh, and we don't really need to worry about the spirit. That's, again, where multitudes of people live. They put no emphasis on the spirit, but a great deal of emphasis on the body. Galatians 5, and reading in verse 17, said, "For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh." This contest between the two going on. Who's going to control? Who's going to be satisfied? And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. When you start listening only to the flesh, it's going to lead you into sin. It's going to lead you away from God. You're going to start living your life just to satisfy the flesh and not the spirit. And that's out of balance. 1 Corinthians 6 also, reading there, in the 20th verse, he says this, "For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." You see, when we are balanced, we can do both. We can glorify God in our spirit, our soul, giving the proper attention and effort to the spirit, but we can also use the body as an instrument of righteousness to serve God. And we can find satisfaction both physically and spiritually when we learn the art of balance. But when you have overemphasis of the flesh and underemphasis of the spirit, you're out of balance. You've got a problem. You know, there are people who will spend untold hours exercising the body and never exercise the soul. That's out of balance. Am I saying that physical exercise is not important? No. Even the Word of God says that it has some importance. Notice in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 7, "Reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself rather to godliness." Here he talks about godly or spiritual exercise, and then he adds, "Bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things." Now, he didn't say bodily exercise has no profit. We all know, if we admit it, that physical exercise is good for the body and we need it. But we could spend all of our time and money and effort on physical exercise, have a beautiful, physically fit body that will die. And if we give no attention to the spirit of the soul, it will die with it and be separated from God eternally. And so in the end, why does he say bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things? Because exercising the soul is going to gain eternal, everlasting benefits. Exercising the body will help me till the day I die. But I will die, no matter how much time, effort, and money I spend on being physically fit. I still will die. So again, it's not no emphasis. But where should we have the greatest emphasis? But then the opposite, and again, another way to be out of balance is when we just say, well, the body doesn't matter. I don't need to take care of the body. It's just the body. Yes, it does matter. It's the house that we live in this world. You want to live in a house that's falling apart, that is not a good place to live? How we take care of the body determines how well and how long we get to use it to live in, to serve God. So it does have a proper place. It's in Psalm 139 and verse 14. He said, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. You look at the human body, and it is absolutely amazing when you think about it. Very amazing. But, you know, when it comes to the body, one of the ways that we can neglect it, again, is in the way we take care of it. You know, you want to talk about balance. One of the first things you hear people talk about is a balanced diet. Well, why do I need that? Because, again, it affects my health. We know there are those that get so concerned with losing weight, they are anorexic. And they are obsessed with maintaining an extremely low amount of weight. Not too many of us have that problem. But there are those who do, and they really are not healthy, and they're out of balance because they're obsessed with staying so low. But then there are others who just throw all caution to the wind, and they're very overweight. And they are doing harm to their body, and again, not being in balance in that way. And again, believe me, I understand, this is a constant struggle, is it not, to maintain balance in the way that we take care of the body, and not taking it for granted, and not intentionally harming it. But then there's balance when it comes to family relationships, where we are maybe having the problem of neglecting family. Just like I talked about before, whether it be an elder or a preacher or any of us, if we have a physical relationship, we have family, we have obligation. We have responsibility. And throughout the Word of God, like in Ephesians chapter 5, He commands husbands to love their wives. And there are few passages or commands of God that are greater than for a husband to love his wife as Christ loved the church. Can you think of one stronger than that? And so for me to say, you know, for me to become selfish, putting myself above my wife, then I am not fulfilling that passage. That's not what Jesus did. That's not what He commands of me. If I get so wrapped up in my hobbies or my work that I don't have time to be a husband, I don't have time to be a father, these relationships are out of balance. And it's time for me to look at that and see what's wrong, what I've let take too much, which side I'm going to too much. You know, work is important. It has its own place in our life, even commands connected with it. But we can get to the point where we're workaholics and we're not fulfilling other obligations. We're crowding other things out because, you see, every one of us have a certain amount of time. We have 24 hours in each day. We have so many years that we live. There's only so many things that we can do. And if we start doing one too much, it's going to automatically crowd something else out. It's like liquid in a glass, and you try to put something else in, it's going to push the liquid out. It can only fill one space or one life. And when you go to the book of Philippians, chapter 2 and verse 3, he said, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. You know, if we're a father, we have an obligation from God to raise our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. If we're a husband, we have an obligation to love our wives and to love our children. If we're wives, we have an obligation to respect and honor our family and work for them and love them and support them. All of these things we're given by God on what we are to do. Now, the opposite of that is loving our family more than God. That's the other way to be out of balance. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37, he teaches us, he that loves father or mother more than me son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. When you start saying, well, I know that this is what the Word of God teaches, but I can't do that because that's not what mom and dad did, or that's not what, it won't please my children. And we start being more concerned about what physical relations do or think or feel, and we start neglecting and rejecting the Word of God based on what will please them. We love them too much then. It's out of balance. Because we're to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And when God's Word condemns what man thinks, let God be true, and every man a liar in contradiction to it. When we contradict God, we're wrong, not God. But if we change that, we've got it out of balance. That's the way it becomes out of balance when we're talking family relationships. What about work and money? Again, the need to balance. Well, one way certainly is when we become a workaholic. And in the book of Luke there, the 14th chapter, you read about those whom Christ was in the parable inviting to a great supper. And they all began to make excuse, one after the other. I've got a piece of ground I got to go see. Or I've married a wife. And they came up with all different kinds of things that involve work and other relations. And they were putting these above God and above the kingdom of God. And he said, they are not worthy. They will not be invited. They will not eat of my supper. So again, we can get to the point that we live to work. Work becomes so important to us that it crowds out other things in my life. And I'm out of balance when that happens. I'm not here just to have a career or just to work. I must work, but I'm not here just for that. But then the other side and the other way to be out of balance is laziness and not providing at all for my own. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8 talks about those that will not provide for their own, those that are not willing to work, have become worse than the unbeliever. Obviously showing that in that we can be lost because we're out of balance. Man was created for work, and God Himself set the plan from the beginning. When He worked to create the universe and then rested on the seventh day, setting a pattern for man. You work and then you rest. But some just want to always rest and let others take care of them. And that's why God said, he that will not work, neither should he eat. And he'll learn to work when you don't feed him. So he never supported encouraging and supporting the lazy, but rather encouraging them to work. So work has a place, but it must not get out of its place. Because then, of course, we become out of balance. But then what about the next category? Recreation and entertainment. Now, there's a couple of ways to be out of balance. One is never stopping to rest. And again, this is probably not what we have more problem with. But this is one way where someone just never gets a break, never takes time for themselves, never really rest. Even Jesus, in Mark 6 and verse 31, to his disciples said, come apart and rest for a while. And once again, God set the pattern. He worked for 6 days and then he rested on the seventh. Not because he needed it, but he was setting the precedence for us. But the other is going to the point where we make pleasure our God. And we live for pleasure. And again, now we're emphasizing the flesh over the spirit, and we're living for the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And in 1 Timothy, there in chapter 5, Paul wrote this in verse 6 by the Spirit. She who lives in pleasure, in other words, that has become her God, that's become what she lives for, is dead while she lives. She's totally out of balance spiritually, in spiritual death or sin, because she lives only for pleasure. 2 Timothy, there in chapter 3, and reading in verse 4, we read these words. Traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. So like when we love pleasure more than God, or like when we love our family more than God, our job more than God, whatever it may be, more than God, we're out of balance. That's the point that he's making here. We are out of balance. Now let me take something when it comes to pleasure as simple as television. Television. We're told that the average hour spent in watching television, in the last statistics I could find in 2017 alone, U.S. consumers spent 238 minutes daily on the average watching television. According to Nielsen, U.S. adults are watching 5 hours and 4 minutes of television per day on the average, 35.5 hours a week. That is an absolutely amazing statistic to me, particularly when they first said when it was introduced, Americans would never find the time for it. Well, apparently they have. And to some, it's like their job to watch television. It may be one of the most leading things that they spend their time doing. Now, I ask you, when you start thinking about it, and I'm not accusing you of watching that much, hopefully and surely you don't watch that many hours of television. But I ask you this in comparison. How does it compare to your Bible reading? Could we be out of balance? Is this the washing machine dancing across the floor? How does it compare spiritually to the time we spend serving God? But then there is losing the very purpose for life itself, living only for carnal pleasures. And again, emphasizing the flesh over the spirit. When it comes to entertainment, recreation, we're told in 2017, consumers spent $3 billion on camping equipment. Boat sales annually are estimated at $41 billion. Americans love their recreation and entertainment. Is there anything wrong with it? No, not in balance. But we've got to compare it to the rest of the areas in our life. It's up to each of us to decide if we will balance our life or not. And achieving balance allows us to reach our goals and our true purpose in life while creating less stress. Furthermore, nothing will change without our decision to change. So how do I achieve proper balance in my life? What do I do? What has to change? Well, number one, I've got to honestly examine myself. It starts by really looking deeply into my life, in all of the areas of my life. As he commands in 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. And so it means look at your spiritual development compared to the flesh and physically. Are you prospering spiritually as well as you are physically, as John wrote about? Look at your marriage and your family. Is it in balance? Are you meeting your obligations there? Look at your career and your work. How important is it? Is it taking too much importance in your life and doing more so than your spiritual development and your family development? And look at the money and how you handled it. We recently studied that in a lesson. How to handle our money. Do we have it under control? Or is it controlling us? Have we made it a god in our life? Look at your health. Do you emphasize both physical and spiritual health? And look at your social circles. Are you meeting your obligations there to love your neighbor as yourself? And to be a good neighbor and to be a good citizen? And look at your mental growth and development. You see, again, we're like the Willindas. We're trying to juggle and control all of these things. How well are we doing? And you've got to decide to start, first of all, to actually be concerned, do something about it. But then when you start, you've got to start on the inside, not the outside. Otherwise, we're just treating symptoms. It all starts inside in the real heart. In verse 1 of Romans 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Again, emphasizing the Spirit over the flesh. He goes on in verse 4 to say that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. They're out of balance. They're pushing the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And the problem with emphasizing the flesh, verse 6, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Again, what are we emphasizing? We got to go to the inside. We got to start on the inside. The book of Psalms, he talks about that same concept and the emphasis that we need there in Psalm 119 and verse 92. First of all, 92 and 93, he says this. Unless your law had been my delight, I would then have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts. Again, we need to balance our life, rebalance our life daily on the principles of the Word of God. Verse 107 of this same psalm said, I am afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, I pray, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your judgments. We need to rebalance our life daily, not just annually. You know, we're accustomed at the end of the year, the beginning of a new year, to think about our lives. But what about all of those resolutions you made last year? What's happened to them now? We don't need to wait to do it only annually. We need to be rebalancing our life daily. We need to be looking at these categories regularly. And we need to be meditating on the Word of God that will lead me in the right direction and teach me balance. Psalm 1 compares the life of the spiritual man that meditates on the law of the Lord to a tree planted by rivers of water that sinks deeply its roots and gains much. And that's what we need every day in our life. We need to set realistic goals in our life, but understand what's needed, what's important, and not emphasize the wrong things to the neglect of the good things in our life. But that means understanding what's important and setting realistic goals. And again, not just waiting for New Year's Day to do that. And then determine what really is most valuable. You know, we can only do so much. We only have so much time, so many hours in a day. And when we think about all that has to be done, we got to think about, is it more important that I do this, maybe in my landscaping outside, or this in teaching my child the Word of God? Is it more important that I attend the services of the church, or that I take care of homework or my job that I can, you know? And I'm not talking about just whether I have a job or not, but, you know, there are many things. I guarantee you, with any one of us, we could come up with a reason not to come Wednesday night if we're looking for it. Guarantee you there will be things that will be happy to fill that slot if you allow it. And when it comes to our singings and our gospel meetings, Satan will always give you more to push in this direction and away from God. It all depends on us understanding what's the most valuable. What am I going to get the most good out of? What is being in balance spiritually mean when it comes to these areas? And I encourage you to think about this. Don't major on minors. That's when we get out of balance. Don't major on minors and minor on majors. Again, in Matthew 16:26, he talks about what will we gain if we gain the whole world and lose our own soul. That's like the individual that, you know, worked so hard to build his fleshly body, and he's spending a fortune and a great amount of time in physically taking care of his body, and then he dies and loses his soul. That's majoring on minors. And that's out of balance. If you're here and not a Christian, I want to encourage you to stop and analyze and think about what we've been talking about this morning. And how important it is that you understand, first of all, the greatest and most imminent need in your life is to be a Christian, a child of God. It will pay eternal dividends or eternal consequences if you do not. And if you're only halfway working at being a Christian, other things have come in and crowded out God out of your life, and this relationship is not what it once was, You need to reestablish that. You may need to correct it publicly and repent of sin in your life and reestablish those priorities and get your life back in balance. It's so much more enjoyable to ride in a car that's in balance, to have a washing machine that's in balance, and to be able to ride the bicycle because you've learned balance. Our life is riding the bicycle, keeping it in balance and not crashing. If you're here and you need to correct that or obey the gospel this morning, we encourage you to come while we stand and sing to encourage you.